Let us pray. O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Do you ever feel like you don't get God, or like you don't understand Jesus? One of the great things about having children is that they come up with the most interesting questions and the most interesting answers. I remember our oldest son, Jackson, when he was about 3 or 4 years old, we were walking along one summer, and he said, "Dad, I think I figured out why God doesn't have a body." And I said, "Why?" He said, "Well, he's so big that if he had a body, he would explode." I thought that was pretty good. But you may have, you may feel like you don't get God intellectually, right? The Trinity, for example. I just prayed in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. How can we believe in a God who is both one? We believe in one God, but who exists in three persons. And if you understand that, then please see me at the back before you leave. Another question people often have is Jesus really the only way to God? Or if God is so good and so powerful, then why is there so much suffering in the world? You may have emotional questions about God. There have been people who've come to me over the years who said, it seems like everyone around me feels God. They feel his presence, but I don't. Why not? Is there something wrong with me? Or maybe you have experiential questions for God. Maybe you're going through a hard time, or you've gone through a hard time, and you've wondered, where are you, God? What are you doing? Why is this happening to me? Now, I don't mean to put doubts into your mind on this third Sunday in Advent, but chances are, at some point in your life, you have wrestled with questions and doubts like these, and maybe you're wrestling with them this morning. And if so, the first thing I want to say is that Jesus can handle your doubts. He can handle your questions, and so can St. Martin's. And I think I speak for all the clergy when I say we'd love nothing more than to get an email or a phone call from you with some of those questions. I can't guarantee we'll have the answers, but we always love to spend time with our parishioners. But secondly, and most important this morning, if you have doubts about Jesus, if you feel like sometimes you just don't get him, you're in good company. Because in today's gospel reading, we see no less a figure than John the Baptist himself having his doubts about Jesus, not getting Jesus. And in case you don't know who John the Baptist is, remember, this is a relative of Jesus's. His mother, Elizabeth, was cousins with Jesus's mother, Mary. They visited the two moms while they were pregnant, and their children leapt in the womb. Somehow John and Jesus knew each other even before they were born. And John's coming was also foretold by an angel. His father, Zechariah, didn't believe it because he was so old, and the angel struck him mute until the baby was born. He came to prepare the way for Jesus. When he grew up, he went into the desert. He wore camel's hair and had a leather belt around his waist. He ate locusts and wild honey and preached this message of repentance and baptism. He cleared the way for the coming of the Messiah, the coming of Jesus. So in light of all of this, in light of who John the Baptist is, we should be somewhat shocked by today's gospel reading. Here's how it begins. When John heard in prison what the Messiah was doing, he sent word by his disciples. Wait, let's stop right there. John the Baptist still has disciples? Why would John the Baptist still have disciples in Matthew chapter 11? Here we are almost half the way through Matthew's gospel, and John still has disciples? Up to this point, Jesus has already cured lepers. He's already healed paralytics and calmed storms and cured fevers and cast out demons. And all of that was just in Matthew chapter 8. In Matthew chapter 9, he forgives sins, which just shocks his listeners. Who does this guy think he is? Only God can forgive sins. And then, as if to prove that he has the power to do what he says, he raises someone from the dead. In Matthew chapter 9, Jesus gathers his own disciples and sends them out to do the work that he himself has been doing. He says, cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons, and they do. These ordinary men do the work that Jesus has been doing in the power of the Holy Spirit. Not to mention the fact that it was John himself who baptized Jesus in the River Jordan and saw the Holy Spirit descend like a dove on Jesus and heard the voice of God the Father coming from heaven saying, this is my Son, the Beloved, in him I am well pleased. After all that, John still has disciples? How is that possible? Well, if we look at the question that John has for Jesus, we begin to get a bit of a clue. Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another? Are you the guy? Are you the Messiah? Are you the chosen one, or is there someone else coming? Why would John ask such a question? Because he doesn't get it. He doesn't get Jesus. Jesus isn't saying the things that John expected him to say or doing the things that John expected him to do. He's not acting the way that John expected the Messiah to act. And if we look back to the beginning of Matthew's gospel and hear the words that John the Baptist was saying about Jesus, we begin to understand even a little bit more. Here's what he says. Now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and again fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. And then along comes Jesus of Nazareth. And he's not chopping, he's healing. He's not burning up, he's forgiving. And one more thing. Where is John in Matthew chapter 11? Where is he in today's gospel reading? Why does he need to send his disciples to ask this question? Why can't he do it himself? Because he's in jail. And I've got to think a not so small part of John's question is, hey, Jesus, remember me? Your cousin, John, I prepared the way for you. If you're the Messiah, you think you can help me? I think you can get me out of this situation? Jesus doesn't look the way that John thought he would, and John's life certainly doesn't look the way he thought it would once the Messiah had come, and John doesn't get it. So what does Jesus have to say about all of this? What is his response to John? Well, first off, what does he not do? Well, as usual, he doesn't give John a straight answer. I can't stand that, right? Here's what Jesus says. Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. Blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me. It's almost as if he's saying to John's disciples, here's what I'm doing. You tell John to decide for himself who he thinks I am. Furthermore, Jesus doesn't change John's circumstances. He never does bust him out of jail. And as you may know, things don't end well for John the Baptist. You know, there's that unfortunate incident with the silver platter. What else does Jesus say? As John's disciples went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. What did you go out into the wilderness to look at? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? Someone dressed in soft robes? Look, those who wear soft robes are in royal palaces. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, see, I am sending my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way before you. Truly, I tell you, among those born of women, no one has arisen greater than John the Baptist. Yet, the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. I think baked into Jesus' words are an affirmation and a warning. Jesus affirms John the Baptist and his ministry in spite of John's questions, John's doubts. Jesus says that John was a prophet and more than a prophet. John did, in fact, prepare the way for the Messiah. He sort of cleared the ground for the coming of Jesus. Jesus goes so far as to say that there has never been a greater man than John the Baptist. And yet he also says that the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Because when Jesus comes, he comes proclaiming something utterly new, utterly unexpected, a new kingdom, a new reality, a new paradigm, a new covenant, a new relationship between God and humanity. And if we think, as John did, that Jesus is all about judgment, about chopping down and burning up, and some of us, that's the message that we may have received in our childhood about how God looks at us. But if that's what we think, we may not quite get Jesus. Or if we think that he's come to put down our earthly enemies and raise us to earthly glory and solve all of our earthly problems, we may not really understand why he's come. John doesn't really understand Jesus. But even in his confusion, there is hope for us. For while John may not get Jesus, Jesus gets John. And Jesus gets John in at least three different ways. First, Jesus understands John. He understands his confusion, his doubt, his sin. In the book of Hebrews, it says, we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. Jesus understands John. Furthermore, I think it's safe to say from this passage that Jesus loves John. Again, in spite of his questioning, his doubts, his confusion. And finally, Jesus claims John as his own. Through his death and resurrection, Jesus saves John not from prison, not from his earthly circumstances, but from sin and death and hell. And in the final analysis, Jesus gets John in the way that he will get you and me. You see, in some way, John the Baptist did in fact understand the story. He just kind of mixed up the characters a little bit. John thought that the Messiah would execute God's judgment on us, but rather, Jesus suffered God's judgment for us. John thought that the Messiah was coming to chop us down, but rather, it was Jesus who was cut off for us. John thought that the Messiah was coming to burn up the wicked with unquenchable fire, but it was Jesus who experienced the fires of hell so that we would never have to. The good news of John the Baptist, the good news of Christianity, is that although we so often don't get Jesus, he will not be stopped in his determination to get us, to love us, to save us. Nothing will stop him, not even death at our hands. And what saves us is not our own understanding, our own works, our own goodness, not even the power of our own faith, but Jesus' works, his goodness, Jesus' faithfulness to us is what saves. So often we may not get Jesus, but Jesus gets us. Praise God. Amen.